Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's News Chew time. Welcome back, everybody. I'd like to first publicly apologize to everyone for the day delay for like the third time in 4 weeks. I feel bad about it, but man, it's hard. There's nothing I can do about it. Anyways, I'm sorry. Take it or leave it. Joining me as always is, how about this one, Ben? The spring demon, Benjamin Orr.
Well, that's interesting. And hello.
I imagine you to wear like a yellow outfit and have like devil horns.
Of course.
Yeah. No. I only did that because I started watching the Netflix original series Daredevil on Netflix, coincidentally. It's weird that Netflix produces stuff now that just only on Netflix. It's very bizarre. Anyways.
They've been doing that for a while.
Anyways, Ben, if you don't know, we've never talked about I have seen the original movie Daredevil with Ben Affleck, and I did survive. So few people can say that in this day and age, and so I was very apprehensive to watch it, but it was very strongly encouraged to me by some friends of mine, and I'm really enjoying it.
Dare I ask why people couldn't survive that movie?
It is terrible, Ben. Okay. Like, in the realm of comic book movies, like, it's in the same breath as Catwoman with Halle Berry. What are some other really? I don't know. There are lots. There are lots to choose from. It's really bad. And this is actually incredibly good. So, you know, we should watch Daredevil if you're into it.
Yeah, don't have Netflix though.
Oh, so. Well, then that is something I can't help you with, Ben. What else is going on?
Not much. It's pretty warm, though, so.
So the spring demon is hard at work.
Yes, I am.
Thanks, Ben. That was incredibly insightful. I'd like to subscribe to your blog.
Yes.
Yes.
Please do.
Great. Great. So insightful. Anyways, it was very nice today. Beautiful day, beautiful weekend in general. So keep up the good work.
I'm doing what I can, right?
Yeah. Can I just say that Spring Demon is way better than Spring Defender?
Yeah, okay. It's about 10,000 times better.
And all I did was just put in a different D word. So we're gonna keep it until something better happens. But speaking of something better happening, Ben, let's get to work.
Yes.
You know how things couldn't possibly get better?
How's that, Lou?
If all the hipsters from New York packed up and moved to Detroit. In story number one, the headline reads, New York hipsters are being encouraged to move to Detroit. So now there are three new billboards that have popped up in New York City. There's one in Soho, another one at the Ace Hotel, which is in Midtown, and then there are two billboards in Bushwick. Now, the thing about all of those particular areas of New York City is that they have a very strong hipster culture, and they are literally billboards and signs that say things like Detroit, : be left alone. And I think that's incredible. And I think the train going by my house agrees.
Yes, it does. Like, I can hear
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think that it agrees.
For once, I can actually hear that. I can actually hear that train. It's crazy.
I know. Sometimes it's very loud right now, which is unfortunate, but it's part of live radio shows. I don't have a studio, so this is what we're
looking at.
Not yet, anyway. But it's interesting to me that there's like this movement to have the hipster crowd move to a city that needs a pretty serious facelift. And if anybody can do it, it's the hipsters, Ben.
It's just funny, though, that you move the hipsters from one big city to another big city to where technically, given the hipster lifestyle, that I mean, I don't really know. I'm just kind of guessing here. Isn't going to change much regardless of where they are.
I mean, I don't know. But Ben, let me tell you as a personal anecdote why this story made it on the show this week. And that is because I have an acquaintance that we're not friends anymore, but we are friends on Facebook. So we are aware of each other's existence, but we do not chat in any way. But she is very much a hipster. She is in a 3-person folk band. And she has lived in New York for the past maybe almost 10 years. And just this week, like 2 days before I saw this story, she posted on her Facebook life timeline that she had just moved to Detroit Rock City. And then I found the story and just went, unbelievable. The billboards are working.
Well, see, now Detroit is – they're going to move to Detroit before it's cool. See, right. Detroit had the whole fallout with GM and the recession. And now they're going to move there because it's not the cool thing.
And then you know what? Once they've run their course there, they'll just move on to the next city. Ben, maybe Cleveland is next.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe somewhere in Ohio.
Maybe they'll invade Cleveland or Cincinnati and it'll be like a cool place to be again.
Nobody gives a fuck.
Nope, no promises. But... hey, but if the hipsters show up in spades and they turn that place into a food-centric, home-brewing, coffee-sucking society... people will actually want to go to your town because you'll have art and culture and civilization, not just Chick-fil-A's and movie theaters.
And bands maybe featuring a meat organ. Who knows?
That would be interesting. That's a very hipstery thing to have happen.
But, I don't really know the hipster culture. I don't really know any hipsters. But... all of the negative feedback that hipsters get, is it really worth it? I mean, they don't seem like they're that bad of people. They just go against social and cultural norms.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
I think I'm part hipster. I'm at least half hipster. Like, you know, I'm the type of guy who buys shirts that have Teddy Roosevelt on them and they say Rough Rider.
I thought you were going to say you buy Tommy Bahama shirts.
No, good God. I don't think that's hipster at all, Ben. I think that's like 60-year-old businessman. That's who rocks the Bahamas.
It could be a new thing.
Just for Detroit? Just for hipsters moving to Detroit? Pick up a bunch of Tommy Bahamas?
Why not?
Paint the town Hawaiian? Even though it looks like the fucking worst part of every comic book city ever.
Led by fearless leader Doug Melvin.
Doug Melvin. Why would you even bring him up?
Because he wears Tommy Bahamas, so.
Jeez, Ben. No more Brewer references. Bad enough. It's bad enough that I have to deal with it just at all. Anyways, enough of your blathering. What is interesting is that the article doesn't say at any point who is responsible for these signs, though. Like, the city of Detroit didn't pay for them. So I'm curious as to who is doing this. Like, they don't address it in this article. It just talks about the billboards. So I'm curious, like, is New York trying to get rid of the hipsters then? Or is Detroit trying to lure the hipsters?
Maybe it's a third party that's just trying to cause chaos.
Maybe it's Memphis, Tennessee trying to make Detroit cooler.
Well, I mean, as I say in Batman, some men just want to watch the world burn.
Good pull.
But there's actually even a pipe. I don't know if it's like a water pipe or whatever, but somebody actually spray painted on their move to Detroit. So it's going all out. It's just not billboards. It's everything. And I like the one graffiti. It has nothing to do with anything hipster related. It just says, instead of werewolf, it's swerve woof.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't know why that's just amusing.
I don't know what swerve woof. Wait, Ben, can we stop again? Can you say that? What is that called again one more time?
Swerve.
And then what's the last part?
Woof.
We have to work on that. It's making me crazy.
This isn't a Camaro. This is a wolf.
Yeah. All right. The Camaro thing was way worse than this, but Ben, there's an L in that word. I need you to help me with this. Wolf. Wool. Say that like a wool jacket. Say wool.
Wool.
Now add an F.
Wolf.
That's much better. Did that feel weird?
A little.
Yeah, good. That's how you're supposed to say it. Because every time you say it, I think you're saying woof. Like what a dog does. A woof. I think it's just a geographical thing. I don't think it's anything like that you've done. I think that it's probably just like a Midwest thing that maybe I just never picked up on before. Because you're not the only person I've heard do that. So I don't want you to feel like I'm singling you out. It's just something that every time you say the word wolf, I can't stop but criticize you for it. And for that, I apologize.
I also call that carbonated beverage pop.
Yeah, but that one's not so bad. And if you played Duck Duck Gray Duck, we'd probably have to fist fight about it. But
what is that?
Yeah, that's what they play in Minnesota. You and I know it as Duck Duck Goose. But everyone who grew up in Minnesota played a game called Duck Duck Gray Duck. It is the only state of the 50 contingent United States of America where that game is played in place of Duck Duck Goose. True story.
It's the same as that game, just with a different name.
Exactly. So my wife played it. All of our friends from college. There was always this ongoing debate about it through all of college. And I think for all of time, there will be. But in Minnesota, for whatever reason, and it seems to be just in Minnesota, they play a game called Duck Duck Gray Duck. So what they do is they go around the circle and they go gray, or they go like they do colored ducks, blue ducks. Actually, you know what? I'm going to get an expert in here, Ben. I'm going to get my wife Ashley to come in here and talk about Duck Duck Gray Duck real quick. She's home, and she's going to jump on the podcast real fast and just give us a quick tutorial about Duck Duck Gray Duck. Put that in your ear so you can hear what's going on. Everybody say hi to Ashley.
Hi, everybody.
Ashley, say hi to Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ashley.
Ashley, why don't you tell us a little bit about your bastardized version of a beloved children's game?
My bastardized version of a beloved children's game.
Go ahead.
Well, I think I probably have a bias, even though everyone else thinks that we're wrong. To me, it makes perfect sense. You are singling out the duck who's gray and different from all the other ducks, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, all the other ducks have a nice color. When you get to the gray duck, though, you're like, ha-ha, fuck you, you're a gray duck. Come on and get me, just like a goose. The goose is different from the other ducks, right?
Sure. So, but how the game is played is, you'd start and you'd say blue duck, green duck, red duck,
purple duck. Now, hold on a second. Duck. The colors, that's not a requirement for the Minnesota Duck Duck Gray Duck.
So you just go duck, 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 and then you get somebody to go gray duck?
Yeah, that's how
Why
I played it.
Why wouldn't you just say goose? It's so much shorter, and it isn't so cumbersome when you're playing the game.
Well, okay.
What if you have like a colorblind kid then? Because he flipped out.
So wait, hold on, Ben. So you're saying that the colorblind kid, they're going to say gray duck and he's not going to know that that's a different word because he can't see colors?
Sure.
I like it. I like it, Ben.
He's just going to keep hearing duck and he's not going to know what's going on.
I see. All right.
Terrific. For me, when I'm going around the circle, duck, 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 gray duck, and then you go.
But it even starts with a G. Why wouldn't you just say goose? It's so much shorter.
Well, let's try it. Duck, 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 goose.
Yeah, that works for me.
My heart jumps a little bit. It is so much simpler.
I prefer my gray duck.
I mean,
goose. Yeah,
because you obviously punched the gray duck to make it sound better. You're fucking Fox Newsing me here on this gray duck situation.
And it's my heritage.
I understand.
It's how I grew up.
I know.
I remember being in preschool. Early childhood education. Duck. Duck.
But your people are the only people who play the game this way.
You know what?
49 other states can't be wrong.
And I fully believe that's right. I believe we're right. Because, okay, you got a bunch of ducks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would a goose be playing with a bunch of ducks? Y'all have never grown up on a farm, obviously.
No.
No, I haven't.
No, we have not. That might explain some of the disconnect here.
They don't go together.
Oh.
I mean, you got ducks running around, mm-hmm. right? If there's one that's not quite like the other ducks, you know, it's kind of like the ugly duckling syndrome. Mm-hmm. Think about the game. That's the purpose of the game, right? Is to single out one and be like, ha ha.
That is the purpose of the game. But again,
you know, it's just discrimination.
I know. It's really an asshole type of a game.
It is an asshole game. But again, Goose makes for a better game because of how quickly then, as the tapper, you have to respond. By the time you're saying gray duck, you have to complete the word, you know, you have to complete saying gray duck before you can run. So if you just say goose and run versus gray duck and then run, it just seems like you're wasting valuable time when you could be running.
That just makes us quicker than everybody
else.
That's
ridiculous.
Keeps us on our toes.
All right. This is one of the few times in life where this actually applies, but agree to disagree.
I'm right.
Your logic is sound as to why the game exists in your way, but the fact that no one plays it that way should tell you that you're not right.
I know. I understand that.
We've lived in another state, and you've heard this so many times before.
I know.
But it's good to have you around to back it up, because Ben had never heard that before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we played Duck Duck Goose when I was a kid.
See? It's the
Everyone
first time.
Else does. It's Everyone literally just Minnesota. Does. I know. I understand. Not even Iowa, I don't think.
Mm-mm.
Usually they're kind of like the nutsack of Minnesota. And they kind of have everything,
that's a
you
good
know,
slogan
that we
for them.
Have.
Yeah.
But just shittier.
Yeah. I like that, though, for Iowa. Iowa, the nutsack of Minnesota.
I mean, that's what it is. It's just... Call it what it is, really.
It's good. That's good. That by that math, though, Ohio would be the taint of the Great Lakes. You're
Sorry,
welcome, Ben.
Believe me, I've heard worse.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. By default, Wisconsin is like the fat upper arm part of the Midwest. Or
the
Great Lakes.
The bat Midwest.
Wing of the Midwest. But anyways, well, thank you for coming on to...
You're welcome.
To briefly address the silliness of Duck Duck Gray Duck.
Gray Duck!
Gray Duck. And then she ran off, just so everyone knows. And then my wife, everybody. My wife, she...
I have this bad habit of waving to people when I can't see
did
them.
Did you do that again?
Yes,
You waved goodbye to her as she sprinted out of the room.
I waved hello and goodbye, and I realized, well, she can't see me anyway.
She cannot, Ben. Well, that was.
I wonder if they're playing Detroit, though.
Yeah, well, I've moved on from that. That was one of the greatest sidebars we've ever had on the show, bar none. And I'm deathly proud of it. So now for the worst segue we're going to do in a really long time. What's up with Tittygrams, Ben? our next headline reads, Russia unveils the, quote, Tittygram, end quote. Russia brings us some of the finest stories the news shoe has to offer. This is not necessarily one of those, but it is something that I think I can't believe that they sort of put into effect first. Essentially, what's happening is that high-level promoters are paying women with beautiful cleavage to have temporary henna tattoos placed in their cleavage area, whether it's for promoting a certain type of liquor or promoting a hotel or another nightclub, whatever it is, and they pay these women money to henna their logo on their boobies, and they call it Tittygrams. At first, when I read it, I thought that they were just making delicious graham cracker treats in the shape of titties, like a Tittygram, but with titties. So I was a little disappointed, but this is something that I really wish I had thought of first, Ben.
When I first heard it, I thought it was like Instagram, but for breasts, and I was really confused.
So you just thought that it was literally nothing but boob shots through Instagram?
That's what... Well, wouldn't you think that's what it would be?
No, I told you what I thought it was. I thought it was delicious graham crackers shaped like boobs. So I didn't, but now that you say that, I want that to be a thing.
Well, it's called Instagram anyway.
No, it can't possibly be that awesome, where literally you just, every picture is just boobs, boobs, boobs.
Can I be the first to say, though, that the writing on the one woman's chest, that very first symbol, that is the pie symbol, I have to say.
It looks exactly like the pie symbol. I don't know, this would have been a good one to ask Olga about, since she speaks Russian. She could have told me what the pie symbol means. But, yeah. Tittygram.ru if you're interested in, like, you know, Ben, maybe we should pay for a news chew Tittygram. I think that's what I'm going to ask for. It's only $9, dude.
I can't write Russian characters.
I can't either, but I can send it to them and ask them to translate it for $9. And I bet if I ask, they can take a picture of it for me. I am not even kidding when I tell you that now I just remembered that it was only $9. I remember when I read this and went, oh, well, we should do this for the News Chew and have them take a picture and send it to us. Because that would make me so happy. So anyways, stay tuned, folks. We may start advertising in Russia, even though we have nothing good to say about them ever.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is much of an exception as just as to weird news and why. It definitely isn't the weirdest thing to come out of Russia.
No, but it's mostly because I just wanted to say Tittygram a bunch of times. And also because now I want to get us a Tittygram.
You think Putin does them?
He probably could. He definitely has the chest for it. You know, we'll have to see. If he gets overthrown, maybe he could do that as a side job.
We'll have to get good old Vlad on the show and ask him.
In fact, you know who should consider getting Tittygrams? Is our terrific sponsor. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I thought about it.
Well, we had a sponsor. Now it's gone.
No, I don't think so. I didn't go through with it, so I think we're fine. I did think about it, though. But anyways, I just thought this was fun.
We should get a Tittygram for our sponsor.
We should. You think that we should pay for a Tittygram for Porcupine Cookies, like as a thank you for everything that they do for us? I could get down on that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going wrong here.
Buy Porcupine Cookies. Love the News Chew.
Gluten free and wheat free, soy free, flourless. Delicious morsels, you will love
them.
Oh,
you really are doing a plug right now. I thought we weren't going to do that, but all right, whatever. Tittygrams it is.
If you are in the greater Seattle area around Bellevue, you're in luck. You can check out Jujubeet, Ma Boulange Bakery, an old country bakery. They do sell Porcupine Cookies, and you can order directly from them. You can find a link to their Facebook through our website, and they're also on Twitter as well.
Indeed. So, great. That was a good plug for them. I think business is really going to skyrocket after that. Especially if we get that sweet, sweet Tittygram.
They're going to get all these orders from Russia now, and they're just going to be so confused as to what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about Tittygrams that'll be a setback, though, in their sales process is that people, when they get so drunk, they're going to wake up in the morning, and they're going to have eaten their own floorboards and not really remembered what was under cleavage.
Nice.
And that leads us perfectly into our next story. Wow. Yeah, that was deep. It's going to make sense here in a second. I promise. I'm going to pull it all together. The headline reads, rare condition means girl, age 4, eats underlay. For those of you playing along at home, underlay is the sponge padding that goes under your carpet. She has a rare medical condition. Is it pica?
It's pica.
Pica, which causes the sufferer to develop an appetite for non-food substances. Her mom discovered it when she started eating a faux leather child's chair. She also started eating cement chips and sand. I mean, first of all, I'm vaguely horrified that this is a thing. I guess I had heard of people like having those afflictions, but like for it to set in at 4 already, I always thought it was like from a bad acid trip or too much meth.
Well, could be both.
Yeah, but I don't think this little girl is doing either. She just really likes to eat carpet inlay, underlay.
And you know, and this may be a stretch, but you know, like how babies always try to like put things in their mouths and eat them. You know, maybe this is a sign of, I don't know that it correlates this young, but like maybe she just does that because she was eating that when she was a toddler. And so paint chip, eat it. Floorboard, eat it. You know, her mom said that, you know, they're at their wit's end. And she said, quote, to stop her, I would have to remove everything from my house, including all chairs and sofas, end quote. I mean, that's pretty extreme when you have furniture that's going to be demolished now by this 4-year-old child.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's pretty weird. Ben, can I ask you a personal question? And you can take some time to think about it, because I'll give you my thoughts on it while you think. But is there any, like, non-edible thing on this earth that, like, based on its smell, you could see yourself trying to eat it? By that, I mean freshly cut grass, flowers. It can be something simple like that, or it can be something, like, really weird, like a Sharpie or I don't know, construction glue. Like, is there something that, like, you smell it and you're just like, man, I kind of would like to eat this, but you can't eat it?
Well, definitely not glue. I think that would kill me.
Yeah.
No, but I have eaten grass and I've eaten newspaper.
You've eaten grass and newspaper. I've probably eaten grass before. I don't feel like it's that big a deal. I've definitely drank wheatgrass, so in that regard, I'm out. Newspaper, I don't know that I've eaten newspaper. I've probably eaten paper. Just maybe not specifically newspaper. Mine would essentially
14 was a weird age.
Yeah, mine would effectively just be gross, Ben. Why are you eating weird stuff? Now I'm worried about you.
I ate newspaper when I was like 6.
Yeah. I would essentially just eat any and all, like, beauty products. Not necessarily like makeup, but more like body wash, shampoo, men's grooming stuff. I would just eat the shit out of that stuff. I would eat so much Old Spice deodorant.
Now, I've never eaten Old Spice deodorant, but if I did...
Here's how I would do it. I would cut it into slices like it was a brick of cheese, and I would enjoy it over crackers.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it's the only way to eat Old Spice deodorant, Ben.
But you gotta get the 24-hour kind.
Right. You gotta get the high endurance stuff is really what you need.
I mean, go big or go home.
Right. Get the high endurance. It's a couple extra bucks, but you're really gonna want that extra high endurance. They don't sponsor the show, so I don't want to plug them anymore. But that's, like, when I think about, like, well, what would seem appealing to me if I could just eat anything and my brain told me it was tasty, that's probably what I would eat. Or, like, I use Old Spice hair product for my blonde wavy locks, and that shit smells delicious every morning. And it's like a paste. I'd, like, smear it on crackers. Just eat that shit.
I have to say, Lou, I'm a little concerned about you.
I mean, you shouldn't be. Like, I had an answer right away. You just told me about weird stuff you actually ate.
Because I can't think of anything. I guess maybe candles.
Yeah, that's an understandable one. I mean, mine is like that too, though. We sort of took the easy way out. But yeah, candles count. Why wouldn't you eat candles? Some candles smell like they should be delicious food.
There's one smell that I like in particular, and I shouldn't like it because it's probably killing my brain cells.
Is it farts?
No. It's maybe like on a colder morning when it's like maybe 40 out, 45, maybe a little colder, and you start the car up and that exhaust.
That's a good one.
I don't know why I like that smell, even though it's terrible.
That's interesting, Ben. No, that's, you know what, that's not that weird.
It's just something that ever since I was a kid, I just always enjoyed the smell. And I don't know, maybe it's like a car thing, because I know nothing about cars. So I don't know if it was like that part of me that was trying to unlock itself and never did. The most I know with cars is how to change a tire, and that's maybe the brakes. That's about it.
Yeah, that'll get you through enough. No, I just I guess I feel bad because like a 4-year-old kid like. And she's kind of – this is going to sound terrible, and I don't mean it to, but it is what it is. She's kind of fat, so, like, she must be eating a lot of it.
It's all those paint chips, dude.
I mean, like, she is – she's not – you know, she's not, like, a tiny little thing. She's a meatier little girl, and, like, it just is kind of sad. Like, you feel bad that, like, that's just how she's wired.
People who suffer from pica usually eat things like dirt, paint, ice, sand, glue, and chalk. I'm surprised that some of these people are still alive. this girl, Jessica in particular, refuses to eat any foods with sausage or sauces, and is limited to giving her plain sausages, cheese strings, rice pudding, bread, Weetabix, I don't know what the fuck that is.
I also don't know fish, what it is.
And fish fingers without breadcrumbs. And she eats so much dairy because she's lacking iron, and it forms a barrier in the mineral of her body. So, not only does she have pica, but she's picky when it comes to food you should eat.
Right. So it's a bad combo. This girl just can't win. Yeah, it's a bad combo. You know, it's too bad. She just doesn't know any better. She's just a little girl, so she's just kind of going with the flow, as you know, more so than an adult would. An adult would try to lie about it.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, I don't have fika, fika, fucka, whatever it's called.
Pica.
Sure. That's also how I get my credit score.
But what's kind of sad, though, is, I mean, the whole situation, but, you know, her mom makes a good point and says, she said, quote, "We would rather she ate the carpet because it's non-toxic. If we try and stop her, we fear she will eat something worse with chemicals in it," end quote. And she's not wrong. I mean, ideally, if I was a parent, I wouldn't want my kid eating anything but actual food with nutrition that you're supposed to eat. But, yeah, I mean, if my kid were to get into, I don't know, the supply closet and started eating, you know, soap or down a thing of bleach or something, I mean, you know, then it gets way worse because that's stuff that can kill them. Carpet's not going to kill them. Is it disgusting? Absolutely.
Ooh,
but it's not going to kill them.
I thought of another one. Windex.
Ooh.
I would drink Windex. I like the way it smells. I feel like it'd be a delicious booze.
You'd have some clean insides.
Yeah, I would. Nice and squeaky clean.
Gross.
Yeah.
But, doctors have said that this Jessica likes the texture of different things, like sponges in particular.
Well, then get her a sponge cake. Stop feeding her carpet fibers.
And she eats cement stones, which I'm really surprised she would have teeth left.
I was going to say, it's really bad for your teeth to eat cement.
Not like the English have the greatest dental care.
Come on, why are you going to say it? Come on. We all know that that's true.
So don't lie to me. You know that's
true. We all know that's true. You just don't have to say it. It's you know, it's just...
So they're also wondering, though, if their daughter is autistic, and they're going to find that out actually sometime this month, because autism does relate to pica, and the girl was noted as having an extremely high IQ, which I don't know how you can really measure IQs at 4 years old. But I mean, that sucks that she suffers from that, and that's not something I'd wish on anybody, because, you know, being an adult and having it is different than, you know, being an adult and raising a kid that has it, because now not only are you concerned about your child's well-being already, but now you have to worry about things that they're doing, and if they're not in your vision or in your presence and you don't know what they're doing, then God knows what they're getting into. So that is rough.
I took an IQ test. Got a C.
C's got degrees.
I don't think they're scored that way, Ben. That was just a joke.
I know.
I thought about making a hepatitis C joke, but then I voted no. instead, I just chose to bring it up randomly. But you know what? Because of this little girl, I'm going to think about some other things that I might consider eating. Because I think that if I really sat down and thought about it, there are definitely things that I would like. Fresh sheets after you just wash them. I don't eat the shit out of those. Anyways.
You know something I would eat, Lou?
What's that, Ben?
Some bacon.
Beautiful.
Like in story number 4. Store manager credits bacon for surviving car crash. As the first line reads, it's the whole new meaning for the idea of a drive-through window. A red Mercedes drove into the fabric outlet, last Wednesday, and Annette Thompson, who works at the shelter a couple doors down, heard this loud bang and went to go check on the driver. And it was an elderly woman, and they wanted to make sure that everything was okay with her. But the driver told her that her foot slipped when she was on the gas when she went to step on the brake. And she was really embarrassed by it, which, you know, I mean...
She's old. It happens. Yeah.
It happens. But it gets better. Joe Hayek, who is... I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his name.
Hayek? I don't know. Who cares?
He's a store's manager and said that the driver was not injured, which is great, and that she's one of the regulars. But he said that he was lucky he hadn't come in yet because where the crash happened was right where he used to stand, or where his office is or something, and that's right where the car went. And he said that sometimes he usually stretches in the morning for back issues, but that particular morning he went to McDonald's and got some bacon, which I didn't know McDonald's just served bacon.
I also didn't know that. There must be more. I'm sure he must have got, like, you know, some flapjacks or whatever they call them there. Sweet cakes or hot buns or whatever the fuck they call them at McDonald's.
Yeah. So,
but
he credits the bacon with saving his bacon. Jeez. Hey, that's what the article says.
Yeah, I know, and I kind of thought you wouldn't repeat it just out of the kindness of your heart for everyone who has to listen to it. I thought you would just omit that. So basically, the manager of this fabric store wanted to go and get some delicious bacon to start his morning, and by doing so, he saved his own life. Now, we have done a few different stories on this show where bacon has been under attack by people. I would like to point this out as one of the prime examples of bacon saving another life. Bacon, it's a lifesaver.
I think this man would be a good candidate for an interview, Lou.
I mean, it would – yeah, maybe. Maybe we can try and track down Joe Hayek, manager of the fabric store. I'm sure that the manager of a fabric store is just full of personality. Ben, have you ever been in a fabric store?
No, I haven't.
This explains why you think it'd be a great interview. Okay, so anyways, to those of you who've ever been in a fabric store, you'll know why I find this comical. Ben, fabric stores, the people who work in fabric stores are like the most quiet, subdued cat people on earth. I'm making seriously broad generalization, but I can't imagine that this guy is like a young 30-year-old who would be hip to our jive.
Hip to our lingo sort of thing.
He's probably like a 55-year-old dude who, you know, maybe got divorced young and never remarried and lives at home in an apartment.
Getting a little too real.
I'm just saying.
But you're probably not wrong.
Yeah, I'm just, but, you know.
But if he had an interview, how do you think it would go?
I don't know. Let's find out. In this week's Vague Interview with Benjamin Orr. This is going to be perfect, Ben. I don't even know how I could have almost walked right past this. I'm glad that you're here. So, all right. Are you ready?
Yes.
So, sir, what caused you to crave bacon this morning, do you think?
Well, hunger. It's hungry.
Okay, sure, of course. But, like, you know, you don't do that every day, I'm assuming.
No.
Okay. You know, okay, so something, you know, were you happy when you woke up this morning? Did you wake up and see some bacon in an advertisement on TV while you were watching the news? What happened to make you want the bacon?
Well, I mean, bacon's food, and, you know, food is good, and I like good food.
Oh, so. All right. Okay. You know what? Let's forget about the bacon for a second. What would you say to people who claim that bacon is bad for your health after what happened here today?
They're wrong. You know?
Would you care to defend that?
No.
Okay, I think we're done here. Great job, Ben. Another terrific Vague Interview, brought to you in part by just me and Ben. The master at work once again. That's actually how a real interview with that person might go. Like, it would just be sort of very informative, but minimal on excitement and or joy.
it's devoid of all life.
But anyways, I am proud of Bacon saving another life. I think that it'll probably get swept under the rug.
I mean, when I read this story, I heard like an eagle fly over, and I started hearing the national anthem in my head, and it was too American for me.
For a split second, Ben, I almost believed in God.
Let's not go that far.
For a split second there, I kind of did. But then I remembered that it was just a coincidence that this man went to get bacon that morning, not divine intervention. He just woke up, and like Ben said, he was hungry, and bacon is sustenance. Ben, did you realize that in your vague interview you would completely discredit the existence of God? Way to go, buddy. You are the man. Yeah, way to go, buddy. Way to go.
I did not pay attention to doing that, but okay then.
Good work, buddy. You've done it all. You've saved us all a lot of headache.
I'm doing the Flying Spaghetti Monster's work?
I don't know. You're doing the devil's work, I guess?
I'm going to say the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yeah, he's your friend. And probably exists on one of the infinite universes that exist. But anyways, this is a fun story full of S's and G's, which is short for shits and giggles. I do feel bad for the old lady because that was probably like, she probably thought she was going to die. Like, she went to hit the brakes, she whiffed, hit the gas, and just plowed into a building. She probably thought that that was it.
Yeah, it's amazing that nobody was injured in this, and the store had to be closed for about a week for repairs, which is, you know, no surprise.
It's kind of amazing that they got it done in a week, though. It's impressive.
Yeah. But yeah, it is quite amazing that the woman, the old lady, was able to get out of it completely unharmed. So, hey, it's all good, right?
I mean, it's not. For her insurance, it's not. That was probably pretty expensive. Replace a wall and all that fabric, all that glorious, glorious fabric. That sweet, succulent, shimmery fabric.
So, sir, what do you think about all the fabric being gone now? It's a shame.
It's too bad, but we'll just get more. We'll get more, you know, we'll get more fabric in it. We will. We always do.
It'll happen.
You know, this one time we ran out of the fleece fabric that has soccer balls on it. Got a shipment. The next day.
Wait, that's actually a thing?
Yeah, man. Dude, you've never been to a fabric store. Yeah, man. That's how people make, like, fleece blankets and shit. They just go buy the fleece fabric, and then they just do what they want to it.
I think the only thing that was close here that was a fabric store, I think, was, like, a carpet store.
I don't think that that's true. I'm sure that there is one, Ben, but there's probably no need for you to go to one.
No, not
I have a degree in theater. Fabric stores were something that I just was forced to endure. It was just part of the deal. But I digress horrifically because there's really only one story worth talking about this week, Ben.
What's that, Lou?
And that's the story of why Saudi Arabians hate cute little monkeys. The headline reads, Saudis refuse Swedish zoo's monkeys in diplomatic spat. So as the story goes, Saudi Arabia has refused to accept four tiny Amazonian monkeys, the pygmy marmoset to be more specific, from a Swedish zoo because of a diplomatic row, according to Swedish media. A quote from the head of the zoo says they didn't want the monkeys anymore because of the political situation. I'm sensing a pattern here. Now, in something that Ben and I rarely do on the show, I probably shouldn't admit to that, but it's true. I actually have research prepared for you on the pygmy marmoset. Just some real fun facts. The full-grown pygmy marmoset can fit in an adult human's hand. It weighs the same as a stick of butter. But it's just a little tiny monkey, effectively. Like, first of all, I don't know why the Swedish people have it, because these things are supposed to be in, like, Central American rainforests. So Sweden is fucking the farthest thing from that. Unless you count Saudi Arabia. That is actually the farthest away from an Amazonian rainforest, because it's the fucking desert. So I don't know what's worse for these marmosets. At least the Swedish people won't eat them.
You look at the picture of the marmoset that it's in the article, and it just looks like it's up to no good. And it's just kind of funny, but I feel it's kind of funny that the Saudi ambassador went to Sweden and was recalled after Sweden ended an arms deal in a human rights dispute. So human rights, monkey rights, I don't think they're the same. So I don't understand why. Okay, yeah, the human rights violation, we can't have it. And the monkeys have got to stay there. We do not want them. Like, where do the monkeys even get brought up in this discussion? That's what I want to know.
And when did monkeys become a fair substitute as, like, a peace, like, for a peace treaty? Shouldn't you guys be, like, exchanging cigars or scotch or something? Like, something a little more manly? Like, you guys, and how come Saudi Arabia doesn't have to give you anything? How come they just get monkeys?
It's just,
is it like, is it, was it like a, we're sorry, we won't sell you plutonium, here are some monkeys?
I mean, I don't know if it's a thing like, monkeys make the world better, so we'll give you them and stop being assholes. And Saudi's like, no, not going to happen. Like, we don't want monkeys.
Did Sweden tell Saudi Arabia that they weren't going to sell them their delicious gummy fish anymore? And Saudi Arabia was like, that's unacceptable. And they, and then Sweden was like, well, what if we give you four monkeys? And Saudi Arabia was like, well, I'll come for a meeting about the monkeys. I'm just curious, like, what happened there? Why were the monkeys the thing? I think that'd be a fun story. If not, just at least a funny Saturday Night Live sketch that lasts about 4 to 5 minutes.
Because Saudi Arabia claimed last month that they had, well, actually, no, Sweden claimed last month that Saudi Arabia attacked Sweden's foreign prime minister, Margot Wallström, for an offensive, quote-unquote, speech, which called for, quote-unquote, blatant interference in its internal affairs. So yet again, how does this relate to the monkeys?
I don't really give a shit about Swedish-Saudi Arabian political diplomacy. I don't give a fuck. I have no stake in it. I don't care. I do care about those monkeys. Those monkeys cannot defend themselves. They weigh 3.5 ounces. 3.5. Go to your fridge right now, if you're listening at home. And if you're in the car, get out your car butter. And hold it in your hand. That is how big these little fucking monkeys are.
Actually, just look at your hand. Just right now, I want you to look at your hand. And imagine a creature that is as big as your hand, if lucky, but probably smaller.
Like, that monkey, there could be a monkey in your hand right now. That's how big they are. And why, how are you going to get them there? Those, if they're that small, there's no way they're going to survive an airline flight. Their heads will pop from the pressure. They'll never survive. Are they flying first class?
Long road trip?
Are the monkey, yeah, is somebody driving them from Sweden to fucking Saudi Arabia? That would be an amazing movie. We could just call it The Monkey Man. It's just about a guy who has to drive monkeys from Sweden to Saudi Arabia. And we'll make it a comedy starring, I don't know, once the studio gets done with it, it'll be
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage and Jim Belushi.
Isn't he dead?
John is dead. Jim makes terrible sitcoms.
Right.
So, anyways, there's that. No, this is my favorite story this week, mostly because of the monkeys. Because, again, you know, these are some cute-ass little fucking monkeys. They always look like they're about to, like, kill you, though. Have you looked at all the pictures, Ben? Like, in every picture, it looks like they have, like, they have these toothy grins on their face. Like, they're eating something, but they're like, after I'm done eating this, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Like, every picture. Look at them. Every fucking picture. It's like they're Jack Nicholsoning out big time. Like, they're just like, after I finish this bamboo, I am gonna fucking rip your face off. A little bit of Gary Busey maybe weaved in there. Like, these little, like, they're so cute because they're so small, but they literally look like the first chance that they get, they're going to rip your eyeballs out and eat them whole.
Maybe that's why the Saudis don't want them. Because they know what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, man. Like, and based on their size, too, like, all they have to do is turn on you and rip your earlobe clean off. Like, all they have to do is just turn to you ever so slightly, and before you can even make a move, your ear can be completely off of your skull. I'm just saying.
These monkeys look like, you know, like from Harry Potter. They're saying, I solemnly swear that I am up to no good. And they really aren't.
Now, Ben, now this actually just made me hit a brainstorm. Have we considered that this is part of a Swedish, like, military initiative to have these small attack monkeys sent to Saudi Arabia? And then as the Saudis sleep, these monkeys will just dispatch of them with cold and complete calculated malice. The monkeys are just going to be slitting throats all over Saudi Arabia and cackling as they jump away.
I'll rip your fucking heart out.
Yeah, see? I think it's incredible that now all of a sudden I, like, picture this weird old, like, Swedish man training monkeys to, like, use fucking Bowie knives and, like, there's just this old Swedish man. He's just out there and he's like, all right, what you must do is you must point and twist, because if you twist, the wound won't close. Like, that's what I envision him doing, is, like, teaching them tactical knife maneuvers so that they can take over Saudi Arabia. Can you imagine if Saudi Arabia was presented by Sweden? Like, there would be – it would just be the most ridiculous fucking thing ever.
You know, and I'm trying to, like, realistically picture these things. And I can imagine, like, two of them would make up Walter. Is that fair to say?
Two of them would make up a what?
Make up Walter.
No, like, four of them doesn't make Walter. Four of them is like a little over a pound, Ben. Four of these monkeys are like a pound in size, dude. Like, they can hold on to your index finger. Hold on, Ben. I'm going to send you a picture because I don't think you're truly appreciating what's happening here.
Because I was thinking, if they're the size of your hand... You know, Walter's not that big.
Walter is like a 17-pound dog, though. Like, these things weigh 3 ounces apiece. So, like, these things are not even close. All right, Ben, I just sent you a picture to your phone of a full-sized pygmy marmoset. So I want you to again consider if you think that two of them would make up my dog, Walter.
Okay, never mind, because the one in the picture from the BBC thing is...
Yeah, because they're zoomed in like 100 times. The actual thing is literally, it's clinging to his index finger like it's a tree.
Okay, yeah, then I take back that statement about Walter. Now, if they were as big as your palm...
Yeah, then... so they fit in your palm, essentially. But you could probably, if you really had to, put 4 in one hand. Or at least cup your hand and all 4 would fit in there. And they would be full-size adults. So, like, their babies are the size of, like, ants. I would imagine. Maybe they're born full-size. I don't fucking know. I'm not a zoologist.
That'd be painful, you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe their weird animal vaginas are prepared for it. I do not know. I am not a zoologist.
The only thing I can say about these monkeys is that Saudi Arabia knows something that we don't.
I mean, maybe they're wise maybe there's an old Saudi Arabian proverb, be wary of the man who gives away free monkeys. Like, you don't know. In different cultures have different things like that. Maybe that's a very common saying for people in Saudi Arabia. They're like, never trust a man who'll give away a monkey. So, like, when Sweden was like, we'll give you 4 monkeys, all of a sudden Saudi Arabia just was like, oh, we can't trust these fucking Swedish pricks.
You know, Saudi Arabia guy goes to the market and he sees it. And he sees the monkey and he goes, man, I shouldn't have flushed The Shining last night.
Yeah. Or maybe Saudi Arabia was like, you know, can we put little fezes on them and ride around on our magic carpets? I'm sorry, maybe the Swedish people asked if that's what they'd like to do. Like, if they'd like to have a little monkey friend to ride around on their magic carpets, and the Saudi Arabians were obviously offended by that.
First of all, racist as fuck, coming from the Saudi Arabians are probably like, that's racist, man.
That's racist. Secondly, I already have a monkey who wears a fez. His name is Darnell. Thirdly, the marmoset is far too small to ride on my magic carpet. The wind resistance would blow him clean off.
Oh, Sweden.
You foolish fools. Just giving away priceless at rainforest monkeys. Who does that?
I'll rip off your head and shit down your neck.
That's kind of what I feel like some of these pictures look like. Because whenever they eat, they show their upper row of teeth, I think is why. So, like, there are pictures of them not doing that. But any picture of them eating, it literally looks like they're the most brutal serial killer the world has ever known. And they just killed your whole family. And, like, they're just staring at you and fucking smiling. Like, they always have this goofy grin on their face. Like, what's the matter? Somebody kill your whole family? But, like, there are lots of pictures of them with that grin on their face where it's just like, oh, my God. What is your problem, monkey? But they're very tiny, though.
If I was in a locked room with one of these things, I don't think I'd survive.
You would definitely survive, Ben. Ben, this is Jesus Christ, Ben. Your range and concept of fear is so fucking horribly skewed. Ben, it fits on your index finger. It holds it like it's a stripper pole. You are the same man who thinks that he could drunkenly defeat a bear.
Well, no, I'm not drunk. The bear is drunk. Okay,
what difference does it make? Again,
well, quite a
it doesn't
difference.
Make a difference. But you think that the marmoset is going to kill you in a closed room?
It could go straight for my jugular.
Oh, my God. Ben, the bear could literally just bite through your whole neck. Fuck your jugular. It could just chew through your neck.
Not if it's drunk and intoxicated and falls over because it can't hold its balance.
All right, Ben. I've got to ask. So then the question again is, would you rather fight a drunk bear or be in a closed room with a 3.5-ounce monkey that all you would have to do is step on it for it to no longer exist on Earth?
That depends.
What could it possibly depend on?
Has the monkey just come from murdering a family of 12?
Yep.
Then I take my chances with the bear.
Jesus Christ. It shouldn't have mattered. Maybe the family of 12 was all deathly allergic to monkeys and he just ran across their chest. We didn't specify how they all died. I just said he killed them. There's a lot of varying ways for that to happen. Maybe he's a plumber and he accidentally broke a pipe and didn't know how to fix it, so he just left because there are no rules or guidelines in Sweden. I don't know what these monkeys do for fun.
Well, I don't think they're plumbers. They wouldn't fit in they'd fit in the toilet, but they get locked into the...
No, wait, they'd be the best at it. They could swim down there, find the clog, come back, and be like, oh, boy, it's a real mess down there.
They have to go underwater and come back up.
This is terrible, Ben. Either your whole concept of fear is flawed, or you just aren't afraid of bears. I haven't decided which it is yet. It may be that you're just not afraid of bears. Although we did do the Rock and Jim Parsons thing and you failed that too. So I don't know. We're going to keep working on your fear because I have a feeling that your shit is way off where it's supposed to be. Like, have you ever seen a bear that wasn't at the zoo?
No.
Maybe that's the other part of the problem. All right. Well, we need to get you in front of a bear. And then that'll take care of that.
Well, the bear's not drunk. They know I don't want to be in front of it. But.
All right, I'll get the bear drunk first. Jesus, what is it with you and the drunk bear? I don't think you could beat a drunk bear, Ben. Ben, I don't think you could beat a drunk bear if you were in a suit of armor driving a tank.
That's preposterous.
All right, fine, but the suit of armor then. I don't think you could beat it with the suit of armor.
I could just throw it at him.
Yeah, but it's going to keep coming. It's a bear.
No, if I cut like its jugular or something with like the armor...
Ben,
if I cut it like its tendon and its leg, it won't be able to run.
Okay. Jesus. Take it easy, John McClane from Die Hard. Acting like you're going to cut up the bear with some fucking shitty-ass metal armor. Take it easy for a second. It's amazing to me that this marmoset, because I've blown it out to make it this horrifically dangerous thing. You do realize the size of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even if it was a trained deadly assassin, I would way rather take my chances with that tiny ass monkey than with a drunk bear. Every time. Because all I have to do is get one good shot on that monkey. Even if he's doing some aerial attack, if I slap him just right, he's done. He's out of the game.
Maybe there was a kamikaze move and he went to put some poison in your hand.
If I slap a bear, he's going to rip my arm clean off of my body and slap me back with it. With my own arm.
Not if you dodge back fast enough.
Ben, have you ever seen a bear catch a jumping salmon out of a stream?
Well, now you're comparing salmon and humans. I don't think that's a fair comparison.
Ben, it catches it while it's jumping through the air, going against the current, and the bear just goes easy. The reflexes of a bear are so much better than you are giving them credit for. Ben, I'm not a zoologist, but I can assure you that the bear is way more horrifying than the tiny fucking little ass smaller than a chipmunk monkey.
Debatable.
It's, Ben, it's smaller than a chipmunk. It would take seven of them to make one squirrel. And not even, and not even like a plump squirrel, like a scrawny homeless squirrel.
Well, technically, aren't all squirrels homeless? They just live outside. All
right, now you're just being ridiculous. How about this? A vagabond squirrel. Is that more? Is that better?
So now he wanders from town to town looking for acorns.
Right, and that's okay. You're missing. All right, we're missing the big picture here. Again, we're gonna keep working on this because I need to make sure that you are afraid of the appropriate things in the universe. Because if you're not, we're going to lose you young, and I can't have that.
Well, I don't think I'm going to be venturing out towards any bears anytime soon.
I don't know, man. Ohio's littered with creatures.
Not bears.
No, but you have other things like wild turkeys and mountain lions. You don't have either of those things, do you?
We might have turkeys, but I'm not sure about mountain lions.
No. Do you have any sort of predatory beast other than lesbians? Ba-dum-tss.
No.
So, like, no tigers or, like, Nittany lions or anything like that?
That's Pennsylvania.
It's right next door. You always tell me how much closer you are to Pennsylvania anyways. So I assume there might be some spillover of small wilderness cats.
Fuck, yeah, that goes in West Virginia.
What's in West Virginia?
Well, the mountain lions.
Oh, all right. Do you guys have, like, Rams? What do you have? Bengals? That's the name of a team there. No? How about Blue Jackets? What the fuck is a Blue Jacket? Is that a cat?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Goddamn. What about a brown? Is that a thing?
I don't know what the fuck a brown is. I live in Ohio.
It's just a color. that was so cheap. That was the worst joke I've ever made, by far.
We have Reds.
What?
We have Reds as well.
Oh, yeah, you have the Reds. The Indians. Yeah, none of this is helpful. Maybe you guys don't. Maybe you guys have nothing.
Penguins?
You guys have penguins?
Well, no, I just mean because of my college, but...
Oh, Jesus, Ben. I was going to say, what? Ohio doesn't have penguins? If Wisconsin doesn't have penguins, there's no way Ohio has penguins. Ridiculous.
Well, in the zoo, but...
Zoos... I said zoos do not count. I'm talking about in the wild, in the wilderness.
Yeah, I don't think there's any penguins there. So.
All right. How about coyotes? Do you at least have coyotes?
Probably.
All right.
Coyotes and wolves. Wolves is not right. It's wolves.
There it is. You said it right that time. Wolves.
Wolves.
Wolves. Wolves. I know it feels weird, but keep doing that because that is the appropriate way. The first time you said it wasn't great.
And we've come full circle.
Yep. Bring us home, Ben.
All right, you can find us on Facebook at The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can find us on Twitter at The News Chew. Send Lou and I your articles you find, story ideas, comments, questions, money. I don't care. So, Lou, any parting words for this week?
There is no gray duck.